This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Feels like this might be an important discussion.
Okay.
Because when you hear someone who feels this way, it's easy to picture a monster of a parent in your head.
Yeah.
However, there are situations where two rational people, both doing their best, just don't see eye to eye.
Yeah, it happens.
Don't get along when it comes to how your kids should be taught, how they should be treated, how they should be handled in class. And if that is something you're dealing with as a mom or a dad, but you don't want to look like a dick, well, we've got some great news for you.
Okay.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Donnie!
Yeah, buddy.
The headline reads, how to handle if you don't like your kid's teacher. Tommy, when I ask you to picture a mom or a dad who does not like their kid's teacher, what pops into your head?
What kind of parent?
Yeah.
Your typical parent.
Well, what is a typical parent?
You know, their little precious is always right.
Oh, so you're judging a parent who does not like their kid's
teacher. Oh, yeah. Especially now, man.
Well, I don't think the typical parent dislikes their kid's teacher. I would
argue. No, but their kid can do no wrong. It's always the teacher's fault.
Yeah, I guess the question would be like, why don't they like the kid's teacher? Is it like the kid got in trouble and there was a disagreement? Is it you don't agree with the way they teach?
All right.
Like, I think it says a lot about the parent based on why you disagree.
Are they
with
pushing
the
blame
teacher?
All on the teacher?
Yeah,
all of that is a fair statement. Kimmy, what I am asking is, let's say you meet someone and just out of nowhere with no context, you don't have any details. God, I do not like my kid's teacher. Your first thought is,
I don't know because if it. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know because I know parents.
Because
I know parents. I know parents that
Kimmy's scared.
That may not like their kid's teacher, but they're never going to say anything.
Okay. All right.
So I put that in a different level than the parents that are like going out of their way to like
they're whiners.
Make their kids.
That's not what you say.
No, but I'm saying teachers. Okay. They're whining little teewots.
Wow,
they are.
Life's difficult. Yeah.
The phone number is 252.
Little Bobby never does anything wrong.
252-9263. I do find it funny how you have this take, yet as a grown man, you still have problems with teachers yourself. Like, you hate teachers.
I did as a kid.
No. You hate teachers right now.
Don't hate them. You know.
You know.
Summer's off.
All right, look. You're right. There is a negative connotation with not liking whoever's job it is to teach your kid. But not every parent wants to be that parent, like Kimmy said. So what do you do?
Okay. How do you approach it?
We have 3 tips in this article that are given. How to handle if you don't like your kid's teacher.
Perfect.
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I would love to hear from teachers on one side. I would love to hear from parents who have struggled with the relationship with their kids' teachers on the other. 252-WCMF, when you hear these, are these legitimate? Are you ready? One?
Yeah.
Okay. Give the teacher insight on how your child learns and behaves. What has your child struggled with the year before? Potential family problems that could be a distraction. Ways the teacher can communicate with you if there is a problem with your kid.
Okay, bring up family problems?
Well, if there is a family problem, those things can affect a child.
All right.
Well, the first tip is essentially going out of your way to talk to the teacher about specific things that could make
how your child's day may have started.
Or no, just in general. What makes your kid different when it comes to learning and interacting?
You're saying, like, get ahead of that?
This is what they are suggesting.
Okay.
Is that a good idea?
I guess, but does a teacher have time to, like, digest all your kid's goddamn lactose intolerant BS?
You are such a dick. You are such... Bro, there are kids that legitimately deal with family problems. Bro.
We all deal with things, Pat.
You don't deal with the damn
thing. Let me tell you something. You go to your work... When you get a job, your bus isn't going to care how your day started.
You know what you're not? 10. Okay, take it back. You know what most other men aren't? 10. Okay, so you're saying that going out of your way to discuss with the teacher specific things about your kid is inappropriate.
I'm not saying inappropriate. I just think it goes in one ear and out the other because this teacher's got 40 kids in a class with issues and problems and crap.
They don't have 40
You
kids.
Deal with it at your house before you send your kid to me.
All right. The second tip in this article, ask questions instead of making demands. The quote, instead of making demands, a bad grade gets changed, or accusing the teacher of doing something wrong, ask what your child can do to get their grades up. Is there ability to earn extra credit, for example?
Okay. Right. Is there some way my child can motivate you to do your job?
So wait, now we hate the teachers again.
No, but that's what it's going to sound like to the teacher.
Oh, my God.
Hey, how can my little one motivate you?
Kimmy, is it appropriate to go to your kid's teacher?
Yeah.
And ask them questions of why their kid is in the situation they are in and what they can do to improve. Because that's what this
is saying. I don't think it's inappropriate to ask a teacher questions. It's when it starts to morph into, like, I guess, telling the teacher what to do.
Mm.
You know, there's a difference there.
I mean, that's what
you're approaching
it right here, but you don't want to hear it. And finally,
what is that?
The third tip here.
Ooh, it's probably a good one.
Don't go over the teacher's head no matter how tempting it is. And this one seems like a no-brainer.
Well, that's always good advice.
But there is one funny excerpt from this article.
What's that?
Quote, if no middle ground is reached on an issue, I would communicate with the teacher that things will be escalated to a higher power.
Wait, tell them that?
Yes, don't go over their heads, but say, I am willing to go over your head.
Ooh. So it's a threat.
That is a threat.
Yeah. That is a threat.
Yes, it is.
I mean, that
I will get you fired if I have to.
All right.
I will talk to your superiors, but I want to speak to our manager.
So you don't think any of these tips are good ideas?
Man, it's an HJ, man. It ain't going anywhere.
Can we bless you, Kimmy?
What?
No, I'm blessing Kimmy to try and get over what you just said.
It is. It's a. Maybe it makes you feel better as the parent, but that teacher's just laying back there, going, "Man, you don't know what it's like to do my gig. I got 40 of these little problems to deal with."
All right, but you keep saying 40. Class size are like 20 to 25. But I'll counterpoint you there.
I thought they were overcrowded because they didn't have teachers.
What did you watch?
Said there was no. I've been listening to your show,
The
Pat Duffy Comedy Hour, and you reported that there was a teacher shortage.
There is a teacher shortage. It's not bad enough where there are 40 kids in a class.
I hear.
Yeah.
Stadiums.
They're not stacking desks on top of each other. Counterpoint, and I see you guys on hold. Please don't go anywhere. I do want to talk to you because we got some teachers waiting for us here. You are a kid who struggled in school.
Yes.
You are a kid who may have benefited from your parents going to a teacher and explaining all of the things that you were dealing with. You are someone who believes he is dyslexic.
I got something going on.
Were you diagnosed or no?
No, bro. It was the 1960s.
Okay.
They thought everything was communism. The Tommies are dirty red.
I meant as an adult. So, like, your mother or father advocating for you may have changed how you, one, viewed authority figures, two, the grades that you got, and three, the trajectory of your life.
Good up.
Well, you wouldn't be a bum in a tracksuit in your platform sneakers right now going, yeah, parents suck. Also, teachers suck. Everybody sucks. Everybody sucks.
I ain't coming in of Niagara Falls.
252 WCMF. Again, the article headline, how to handle if you don't like your kid's teachers. The three tips they give. One, give the teacher insight on how your child behaves. Two, ask questions of them instead of making demands. Three, do not go over their heads no matter how tempting it is. Let's start with the point of view of the teacher.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a good start. Right?
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you, brother? Chris?
Can hear you there.
All right, we're gonna put Chris back on hold. We'll start with the point of view of the parent.
All right.
John's on CMF. Hey, John, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. I told Kimmy I've actually been on both sides. I've been indifferently. I've been the kid complaining to my parents, and I've been the parent getting rung up by the teacher. So I mean, but we're talking when I was the kid. That was in the 80s, and completely in a different space, right? It was, I had a teacher telling me I was disorganized and I didn't have my crap together. So he
Sounds
called a conference
right.
with my mom. Right, he called a conference with my mom at the end of the day. He goes in there, he's got stuff falling out of his briefcase, and she just looks at him like, you're telling me my son's disorganized? So, I mean, there are two sides to every story, and somewhere in the middle is the truth. So I think some discovery by the parent is in order. But I've also been on the receiving end of a teacher telling me my kid's a cut-up. And I knew she was right. So we figured out a strategy how to get this kid on the straight and narrow. Now he's very successful. But I think having those conversations and
or
here's not
Danny spends
kid
his
kid
whole
right,
day talking on the radio.
Got stuff falling out of his desk.
And there you go.
All right. Well, okay.
Falling out of his damn mouth.
So you're saying talking to your kid's teacher was very productive from your point of view?
Absolutely. 100%, because you don't know what's going on in that classroom.
I haven't heard cut up in a long time.
He was cutting up.
All right, John, if you give me one sec. Tommy, you hear John talking. You have both sides of the coin as a child, as a parent. When you hear him discuss what he is discussing, your thought about John is? Oh, what happened?
Oh no,
I'm a scared of John.
No,
I had a lot of takes when John wasn't on the phone, but I'm a scared now. Oh no, I'm a scared of Tommy. I'm Italian and I'm scared. A spaghetti and a meatball.
Well, I mean, I don't get how, like, because the teacher looked disheveled had anything to do with his story.
What? No, he's like, we're saying is it good or bad to go to the teacher? John is saying from his experience, it has been a beneficial tool.
Because his kid is now successful.
What's your experience been? Tell me, what's your experience been?
Yeah, tell him. What's your experience with your kid? Yeah, you ain't got kids. You're barren.
I don't have children. Barren.
John, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. I mean, John does bring up a good point.
What's that?
Not to be a gatekeeper here, but like, you have no leg to stand on.
I know kids. I was a kid. I went to school. I had parents.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, and you had a hard time.
I was a cut up.
You had a hard time in school.
Yes, I did.
Okay. So I'm just saying, like, maybe a different... I just find it weird that you advocate for the approach that caused your life misery.
Well, I mean, I was a bad kid, too. I was also not a nice person. I had learning disabilities, and I was also a dick.
Yeah.
Most kids need to get one or the other. I happen to have both.
It's just weird how you learn to be a dick with the disabilities.
A disability dick.
A dickability.
Yes, there you go.
252 WCMF. All right, let's try Chris again.
All right.
Point of view of the teacher. Hey, Chris, you're on CMF. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry, my signal sucks. I'm all the way out in Churchville, Chi-Li.
No, you're all right, buddy. Well, what do you guys? So you heard what we were talking about. Your first thought when it comes to parents approaching the teacher and having these discussions is what?
So parents can, like Kimmy said earlier, come up with ways so that way the kid can basically boost up their grade. But when, like again, Kimmy said, if the parent is telling them how to do the job that teacher already went to college for and got a license for, then that one is stepping on our toes, and the teacher is not going to take it very kindly.
Okay.
Because these teachers want a private tutor. I mean,
nobody wants to be told how to do their job.
Right, but these parents want
nobody
a private tutor.
Nobody wants to take accountability either.
No, you say there's no accountability in the parents? That's what you're saying?
To hold their kids accountable for their actions, yes.
Gotcha. Okay. No, I'm asking a question. Why are you pointing at me?
That's what I was saying.
No, you weren't saying that.
A roundabout.
No, you weren't. We're not doing yes right now. We're talking about teachers. Boom, 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 boom.
It's a great
story. Tommy.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I'm sticking up for your lazy 3-month-old ass.
60-some-odd million years ago. Shut up.
Chris, great call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
Everybody's taking the Teddy approach. Tommy. Shut up, Tommy.
I love how you pissed off both sides somehow.
Yeah, it's a talent, I guess. Like
John writes on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF. He says, former teacher, if you don't like the teacher for personal reasons, that's on you. Figure it out. If you don't like the teacher because they're not meeting and addressing your child's needs, you absolutely need to intervene. And that's coming from a teacher.
Go over their head. Talk to your turn.
Look, it comes down to this. So you do not believe as a parent you should intervene at all.
I mean, obviously, if it's something dramatic or terrible, but I mean, if your kid's just falling behind, maybe it's on you and your goddamn gene pool.
Okay, fair enough, but let's talk. I think you can argue both ways, because look, I'm kind of with you, not in the horrible things you said.
Yeah.
All right, let me put it this way.
Yeah,
personally, I am a believer that at some point in your working life, you are going to have to have, you are going to have someone over you that you do not like.
Right.
And that will make your life harder. So as a child, the earlier you learn to navigate that, the better. A teacher your kid doesn't love could be a blessing in disguise down the road, because that is real life.
Yeah.
That being said, right, the argument that one teacher that your kid had a hard time with can change their love of learning is a legitimate argument. It's a valid argument. If they were a kid that enjoyed learning, going to school, and now they don't, I mean, that does have the ability to hurt you with every grade moving forward. Because if they lose interest and start to dislike going to class,
they go into morning radio.
It starts a chain reaction that is very hard to recover from, right? If you don't learn things in a grade, you have a hard time in the next one, and the next one, and the next one. It just keeps compounding. We had that problem.
Yeah.
Did we not?
Oh, we had the problems, Pat. That's why they invented summer school.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we knew that very well.
Do you think a parent has, should, I should say, go to a teacher, though, if it's not about their kid, if it's about another kid? Like, let's say, like, the teacher isn't necessarily creating this environment for your kid, but maybe there's another kid or kids in the class that are contributing to the reason your kids are struggling with grades.
A disruption?
Like, I feel like that's where it really gets complicated, too, because I can understand as a parent wanting to do something about it, but it's not your kid.
Well, but here's the problem with that.
You got to stay
away. And now you're telling a teacher, like, there's a problem here, and, you know,
but the problem with that
is, two sides of that story.
Yeah, exactly. Going in, like, if my daughter comes home and tells me, well, the reason that I'm struggling is because this person over here, well, I don't know what my daughter is doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is her social life?
Right.
But I know a lot of parents, that's what gets them to go to a teacher.
I know.
But you're also, again, telling that teacher how to do his job because he's in that class. He sees all these kids, and you're going to say, hey, there's a problem over here you're not addressing.
Yeah.
That's telling that dude how to do his job.
Okay. Mr. Sasquatch writes us on Instagram.
Oh, there you go.
Duffy on WCMF. He says, I was terrible in school until we took a field trip to the 10th wonder of the world, Tommy's mom's pooter cabin. Scared me to death. Tommy's mom's pooter cavern.
Don't read that book.
Joe writes us on Instagram. I can't believe my kid's falling behind. Did I tell you we have four travel hockey tournaments in a row and they need to leave early on Friday? Look, I mean, I do feel like whatever side you're on, you have a rock-solid opinion that will never be changed, right? Like, if you had an experience where you think your kid's teacher is responsible for them falling behind, you cannot be moved. And I also understand the frustration of teachers having people telling them that you're not doing your job the right way and my kid is an angel. But there is a middle ground here.
Okay.
No, you don't believe there's a middle. Don't okay me.
Yeah, but a middle ground sounds like a sellout. Like, you're not accepting any responsibility. That's like a no man's land. Like, there's a middle ground of what? Either your kid's bad or I'm bad.
No,
there is no middle ground.
Not necessarily.
If everybody else, let me ask you this. If most of the kids in the class are achieving, are hitting what they're supposed to hit, and your kid isn't, how is that the teacher's problem? Where is that a middle ground? It sounds like your kid is falling behind. I can't stop the whole class just to work on your kid.
Maybe your kid needs some extra help.
But that's on the parent.
But the parent can't find that out unless they have that discussion, which you're against.
Yeah.
Okay, I just gave it to you.
No, but you said don't do that.
So I think it would be okay to ask questions in that situation.
He's cutting up. The parents don't come in. She's at the club all night. She don't take care of her kids.
Dope chopping, weed transporting, working at Mick Jagger's car wash. Nicole writes us on Instagram. I believe it sounds like she might be a teacher. She says, at the beginning of the school year, I give out a parent survey. Their child gives me insight on what I can help with their learning. Keeping open communications with parents is something that has helped me as a teacher.
So the kid basically says what's going on in their environment at home.
Yes. Or, well, it's a parent survey, so the parents may fill
that out. Oh, okay.
I filled those out. I mean, look, communication with teachers is very important.
Sure.
What time is it? Oh, my kids are off of school. All right. Like, my youngest does not have the ability to lie. She's 13 years old. And
just an honest person.
She's a lot. She does her work.
Yeah, she does.
And she does all her numbers and her letters.
She does numbers, letters, and then some.
Yeah.
And my 15-year-old, she gets good grades too. But she also just, if anything, she gets in trouble for anything, she lies immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it's not her fault, and here's what happened. And the open line of communications with her teachers have helped me catch her in several situations where it's like, and if I followed your advice and just shut the door, she might be struggling.
Okay.
Struggling. I want to kiss you. In Tommy's mom's cooter cavern. Cooter cavern, what was it? Doesn't matter.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
You know, sometimes it feels like the holiday season exists only as a giant hose to suck money out of your bank.
Yes.
It's doable, keeping a budget.
All right.
The problem with that is every year the budget goes less and less further than it did the year before. And people think gift buying is the hardest holiday budget to stick to. But this story we have in front of us may change your mind.
What happened?
You're hanging in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. If you are looking for a good cut of meat, mm-hmm. for your holiday get-together,
yeah.
you may want to start applying for a bank loan.
So are we talking like prime rib or some crap or what?
Story on News 8 says that beef prices specifically have shot up.
Is Christmas a big beef time?
Yeah. I thought
beef. I thought it was ham or something.
Yeah, okay, ham. So ham and beef.
All right, ham yeah. and beef.
Beef
right.
and, which, by the way, one of my favorite radio morning shows.
Oh, yeah, they were great.
Ham and beef. Story on News 8 went to Skip's on the Ridge. And folks who work there say that a beef shortage is driving up
Wait,
prices.
Is a beef shortage?
I had no idea there was a beef shortage either. But they go on to talk about how big demand and low supply means beef will cost more.
Right.
And beef experts nationally say that you will be spending anywhere between 10 to 30% more.
Damn.
Depending on what you are buying and where you're buying it from.
Well, if you're going like prime rib, I mean, that's a prime cut. No, that's
well,
always going
to be
expensive.
You're probably getting something a little fancier than you usually do, right?
Right, yeah.
But it's 10 to 30% higher than last year across the board.
Yeah.
So even if you bought prime rib last year, it's going to be more expensive. Mm-hmm. If you bought, you know, hamburger, it's going to be more expensive, whatever it is. Is it possible to keep a holiday food budget?
Yeah, I never think of Christmas and the food. It's always about the gifts.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it because you don't eat food?
Oh, look who's talking.
Oh, I eat on Christmas.
Oh, I eat.
I was going to say, there's not as much emphasis on it, but there's always a ton of food. So people are spending time and money on providing the Christmas dinner. Yeah.
I mean, look, when it comes to like holiday meals, it feels like the Thanksgiving budget is easier to keep meal-wise than the Christmas budget.
Well, first of all, the turkey's cheap.
That's what I mean. Like Christmas,
the headliner.
Traditional Christmas dinner or Christmas Eve dinner foods feel more decadent, higher end.
Yeah, but it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what a traditional Christmas Day dinner is because different nationalities do it differently.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you Italians, you love seafood. Those fishes ain't cheap.
No, that's the night before.
Yeah.
And then you do, usually it's like lasagna.
Yeah,
and
we
all
do
kind
like chicken parm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But even
with the Christmas meal, though, depending on like, you know, who you have over, everybody kind of has different Christmas schedule. Like, we don't like make it a point to like all sit down and eat together.
Oh, really?
The food's just there, like, if you want to eat it.
Okay.
Throughout the night.
I will say prime rib, that's top shelf.
Well, but here's the thing. I feel like you're more likely to see prime rib around Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
You're more likely to see shrimp around Christmas.
Shrimp.
You're more likely to see more expensive appetizers.
Right. All right, so you're saying it's all decadent.
I feel like Christmas meals, appetizers, meals, whatever.
Cocktail weenies all wrapped up.
God, I love those.
Got a huge
Everybody
variety.
Loves those things, man. Pigs in a blanket?
Yeah, my aunt makes them. They're so good. My aunt also makes this like five-layer Oreo cake that has to you like scoop it out with a spoon. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my mouth is watering right now. And Carolyn, I can't wait to have your cake. That sounded weird. 252-WCMF, 252-9263.
Scoop it up.
Aunt Caroline's cake.
Carolyn. Carolyn.
Spoonful at a time.
The biggest expense during the holiday season, food and gifts. Which budget is easier to keep? Is it easier to keep your gift budget or is it easier to keep your food budget, Kimmy?
I'm going to say gift budget because I don't think you're paying as much attention to the food budget. You're just getting what you want to get, and you're not gonna like put stuff away just because it's more expensive. Well, you know, it's part of the price of Christmas. Whereas gift, I think you have a bit more of an idea of what you want to spend on every person you're buying for.
Okay, here, counter-
and you may like space that out too over time.
All right, but if you are saving money on gifts, you are either disappointing someone, Kimmy, or stiffing them completely. And if you have kids, depending on their age, right, they have no concept of saving money and higher prices. Santa is bringing those gifts, right?
No, but I would argue there's more opportunity for you to save on gifts than there is to save on the food.
So I'm thinking the food's the easier because, one because I can adjust the food.
Okay.
I can't adjust your gift if this is what you want.
Oh.
I can shift from prime rib to ham to lasagna.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going to have a meal at Chef Chintz's house? Chef Chintz here? Yes, Chef. Yes,
I'm
Chef
just
Chintz.
I'm thinking like the amount of people I know that go out to shop for Christmas on those deal-busting days like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all the chances they get to save on gifts, like that's when they strike.
Okay.
Whereas, like, you can't, like, you can't wait for, like, the price of, like, the food to go down. You got to buy it when you can buy it.
No, you're right. All right, but, like, here's the thing, Tommy. Like,
what's that?
All right, if you skimp on the presents, right, if you try to skimp on the food, right, like, people will either walk away from your table not stuffed because there wasn't enough for everyone to get stuffed, which should be fine, but for whatever reason during the holidays it's not, or two, if your guests, if you're hosting, have an expectation of certain items from the past, nice cut of meat, higher end sides, whatever, when they come over and it's not there, they're going to be talking.
Yep.
Right.
You're going to disappoint them. You want that kind of
Oh, wait, they won't come over next year? Somebody else will have to host?
Oh, I'm sure,
my God.
I'm sure your wife is totally fine with that.
I am.
I didn't say you. I'm sure your wife is totally fine with that.
It hurts our budget.
Mm.
Her budget.
Look, I'm with Kimmy.
Her money.
I'm with Kimmy. I think it is harder to keep the food.
Yeah,
I think it is. Like once you go
buy it,
once you go to a certain level, because not only are you fighting the expectations of other people, like if I buy a gift for someone else, I'm not going to use that gift. If I'm buying dinner, my selfishness is also involved in this purchase. Do you understand what I mean?
For everybody, including yourself.
Exactly.
Well, how top shelf are you going with these meals?
I'm telling you, man.
Well, he's just talking like about your regular budget. Like, do you have a? I don't. Does anybody set aside a budget for the food, or is it just like, this is the list of food I'm getting, whatever it costs, it's going to cost?
I don't know. Because here's the thing, my wife does all the food shopping, and I know that if I were to try and step in and be like, well, this is where we should keep it, she would bite my hand.
Mm. All right.
Like, she's not messing around with the food that she's going to serve our family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she's got my whole family comes over on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I don't know why she has to impress them, just like the electricity impresses them.
No. Y'all have heat?
Oh, I can't see the moon inside. Wow. How'd you do that? 252 WCMF. The story started with something on News 8 the other night. They went down to Skips on the Ridge, and they talked to the folks who work there. Beef prices have gone up anywhere between 10 and 30% higher than what you were spending last year, whatever kind of beef you are getting. And we're talking about the budget you have for gifts versus the budget you have for your dinner, meals, whatever, on Christmas. Troy writes us on Instagram, Duffy and WCMF. I want you to tell me what you think about this statement.
Okay.
Are you ready? Troy writes, prime rib roast isn't too expensive. It's about £120 for a 5-pound bone, or excuse me, $120 for a 5-pound
bone in.
Yes.
That's $125.
$120.
And that's, you still got to get everything else.
How much is 5 pounds? How many people can eat five, you know what I'm saying? Is it half a pound per person?
I'm going to say that's probably 10 people.
So $12 a person? And that's just on the beef?
That's just the beef.
$120 for the entree sounds like a lot.
It kind of is. Yeah, I would say that's a lot.
That's a lot, right? Yeah. Okay. Excuse me, Troy, Mr. Millionaire.
And by the way, that's
Troy prime rib money.
And that's just what will piss you off, too, is how people consume that prime rib.
For example.
Like, if there's ones, like, they trim off all the fat, the grizzle, they want it well done. Like, I hate serving people beef that don't know how to eat meat.
No, that's everything with you. Because if you serve someone whiskey and they don't drink it the way you want it.
You're the same way, needle, you know what.
What is going on?
He's trying to look cooler.
No, I'm just, now I'm hot.
Oh, now you're hot? But you think it's maybe the winter hat and the gloves, you jackass?
Well, I gotta take the hat off.
You're gonna take the hat off? Well, who would have thought that would have been the hottest thing in the whole world? Idiot.
It's getting worked up on meat over here.
No, like, if you are going to host people when it comes to food or booze or whatever, you can't judge them how they're consuming
it. I understand that.
No, you don't.
Like, but you have to let them like slather ketchup all over that thing and just sit back and watch it happen.
Then,
if there are kids eating it, it will be dipped in some weird stuff just to get them to try it. Like ranch, you name it.
ranch prime rib.
You gotta just sit back and let it happen.
I ain't serving some punk ass kid prime rib.
Sure you are.
That's for the adults.
If they want it, you tell them no.
That's the adult food.
Wow.
That's the punk ass chicken finger table over there with your ranch dressing. I'm not serving some kid prime rib.
You've got more balls than I do. I ain't gonna tell my nieces and nephews they can't eat what's out.
Why? They're kids.
Yeah. So I'm going to look at my sister and be like, your kids aren't good enough for this food?
None of the kids are.
Wow. So what's the age cutoff then? Because my oldest is 15. Cause she have
how does she eat her steak?
Medium rare.
All right, she's that.
Okay. So my other
daughter, how's Claire doing?
13. I mean, she hasn't really ordered a steak yet, but what if she wants to have it? I'm going to tell
her. How does she want it?
I don't know. Never had it.
Rare or go home? Oh, you're already home. Go to your room.
Go to your room.
With your chicken fingers.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Mark. Hey, Mark. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, so I went yesterday to get prices on the prime rib for Christmas. And so I ended up ordering it. And they give you the choices. You can get either a select choice prime or you can go to the Wagyu. But so the select is really kind of just bargain basement meat. So I went with the prime. $30 a pound. I got a 6-bone prime rib, which is about 20 pounds, $600 for a piece of meat.
Oh, how many does that serve for you, buddy?
$600.
Here's the kicker. It's only going to be about 10 people, and probably only half of them will eat. So here's the thing that people don't realize. The bone is pretty much useless. I mean, you don't really do too much with it.
Hey, you're doing it wrong.
So when you cut the bone off, that's like on a 20-pound roast, that's like 6 pounds right there. You talk about a 5-pound prime rib, you gotta factor in the bones, and the bones are.
Bonehead.
I've been doing a lot of research on the prime rib game these days because I know I'm going to be doing it for Christmas.
$600
for a piece of meat.
So there wasn't any point where you saw the total and thought maybe we'll switch to something else.
Yeah.
You were like, I've committed. Well, I'm doing it.
Called Domino's.
I was having a panic attack in my head just doing the math, thinking about it. But what am I going to do? It's what we do every year for Christmas, a 6-bone prime rib.
No, it is amazing, like, once you have laid that gauntlet down, how hard
you
Mark
want top
is.
Shelf, you can't go back.
Well, and it's not even like, because, Mark, I'm sure I've seen you before. You'll eat whatever. You'll put anything in your mouth. But, like, you don't want those people coming over to look at you and be like, oh.
But he's that guy, though, too.
What?
Him. Mark.
How so?
Party boat Mark.
Little showy. You're right.
Showy. You're loud, you're showy. You want to brag how good I'm doing.
Look at me, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, it's you. Now look what you did. Now it's going to cost you $600.
Well, Mark, enjoy your $600 1 pound of prime rib this year, buddy.
I'm going to watch everyone that eats.
What if somebody starts jerking ketchup all over your meat?
Just like you said, Tommy, I'm going to be like, what are you doing trimming off that good fat right there? That's all right.
I would be pissed, man.
Mark, thanks for the call.
But that fat is gold on that thing.
The one good thing about like a cut of prime, because we've done prime rib at our house.
It's delicious.
It is amazing. But like, you get extra so the next day you can have like prime rib and eggs, which is like the most decadent over-the-top breakfast.
Yeah, that's like King Henry or something.
It really is. Like, I have
gnawing on that big bone.
I've got gout when I'm done with it. Like, that's how decadent a meal it is. But, it's like the one time a year where it's just like,
you're gonna have it.
It's the leftovers that you don't encourage people to take with you. Everything else, you're like, take it. We're not going to eat it.
Oh, yeah, nobody's taking
mine,
prime
though.
Rib home.
This part stays with me.
My prime rib. Mary writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF. She just sent me a picture of Wegman's Choice Angus Beef Tenderloin.
That's high end.
So it's $180.
For a full tenderloin?
It's served 6 people.
Oh, that's not even a full tenderloin.
No, so it looks like
it's a half a tenderloin.
$49.99 a pound, so it looks like it's a 3 pound. Yeah.
But again, you're eating like the best cuts of meat.
But she said, she quote, I regret offering to bring this 6 people, so size is great, but it's $200.
Goddamn.
Why would you offer to bring that, man? Man? Woman?
It sounds like it'd be cheaper to give everybody lobster.
What's a lobster go for right now?
Well, like if that prime rib for 10 people is $600, I wonder if lobster's cheaper.
Yeah, but you can't just go turf.
I could.
Or no, surf. I mean, you got to go. If you're going lobster.
I would love to just eat lobster.
You have to have like a seafood platter.
I mean, look, I think that if you're looking to save money, I don't know what the ham prices are.
Ham is always cheap.
And it's a completely appropriate meat.
It's delicious.
Yeah, I love ham.
Yeah.
Man.
And you don't get it that often.
You're right.
And now that spiral, you don't even have to cut it.
No, you want to cut the ham.
No, you buy the spiral, it just peels off.
No, I want a thicker ham cut. I know it's not thick enough for me.
Oh, for God's
sake.
No, take 2 slices, you jerk.
No, because it's already falling apart in your mouth. I want like a big hunk of ham in my mouth.
Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 hold on now.
What?
Why didn't you tell me that?
I just told you right now. I want a big hunk of ham.
I just got into the pork game.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I just got certified and everything.
Well, really? What are you doing?
Yeah, I got a little kiosk set up.
Where's that?
No, it's in the men's room.
Oh, what's the business called?
It's called Uncle Tommy's Hunk of Ham from Farm to Your Mouth Sauce.
There is nothing better than an uncut hunk of ham that you have to gnaw on to swallow down.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll wrap it up with this because it sounds like one person is making the change based on prices.
Okay.
Cindy writes, we always serve beef tenderloin for Christmas. This year it would have cost $400 for 9 people. We're doing lasagna and chicken cutlet.
No kidding, man. And by the way, that's a delicious meal. Parm and lasagna?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll
fantastic.
Eat
yeah.
Not prime rib, though.
Oh, right, but you're changing up.
Cindy. Busted ass Cindy.
$600
oh,
for
Cindy.
Food. Busted ass Cindy.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Well, we know who will be kicking a football for the Buffalo Bills on Sunday.
Great.
It's all done. But there were 3 things, count them 3. One thing that Kimmy found, one thing that I noticed, and one thing that everyone knows.
Yeah.
That are making me a little bit uncomfortable. Bad omens.
So you're not crazy about this guy?
No, any kicker we signed off the street, I'm just not going to be crazy about.
They didn't get Gimpy Gary?
You're hanging out in the break room. Watch just Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So we told you this time yesterday, Matt Prater, Bill's kicker, has a quad injury. He will be out this week. He is listed as week to week, so there's no guarantee he's back, period.
Oh.
And even when he comes back, like you said, Kimmy.
Yeah. We'll look, see.
Those quads are,
Yeah, you know your
for
quads.
For an older guy, it could be a lingering thing.
I do know quads. Yeah,
yeah I know. I was giving you credit.
So yesterday, the Bills signed a new kicker.
Who do you get?
Michael Badgley Jr. He will be holding over for Prater until he's healthy. He has played for 6 NFL teams in an 8-year NFL career.
Oh, so he's been around.
He was with the Colts just a few weeks ago. He is no longer with the Colts because he missed a crucial extra point against the Texans, which may eventually end up costing the Colts the division.
Oh. All right, well, that happens.
So we signed him.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so Kimmy, you noticed.
So we didn't get Gimpy Gary.
Kimmy, you caught this first thing.
Yeah, because I Googled him just to see, like, you know, where he came from, how, you know, how long he's been around. And one of the first things that pops up about him is that he trademarked his nickname.
Do you remember the nickname, Kimmy?
So it was, I believe it was Michael the Money Badger.
Yep.
The Money Badger?
Yep.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Money Badger.
So he's money.
So he's Money Badger.
Badgley, but the Money Badger.
But it also feels like maybe you should have waited for your career to play out a little while before trademarking that that kind of nickname.
All right, so guys giving themselves their own nickname, we are on record as saying.
Yeah. You got to let it happen naturally.
Yeah.
It's a douchey thing.
Yeah.
Trademarking the nickname you gave
getting
yourself.
Getting a lawyer involved in your nickname.
We know guys that have done this.
Okay, but I can't think of a douchier thing to do.
No.
Yeah, and you better be money if you have that nickname.
Well, it wasn't money in Indianapolis. Okay, the second bad omen here.
Yeah.
Kimmy, did you see what number he is going to wear?
Did I see 32?
He's wearing 32.
Oh.
Is that like his number or did he purposely pick 32? How did he end up with 32?
Was that the only one left?
I mean, there are other numbers.
No, there have to be other numbers.
Kimmy, can you pull up the numbered roster right now? There's got to be other numbers in the single digits.
Well, I mean, it's been a while. I mean, you know.
Well, no, okay. So for those who may not be understanding what's happening here, 32 is the number that O.J. Simpson wore. The Bills never officially retired it, but no one had worn it from the moment he retired up until two seasons ago when they put it back into circulation.
Oh, so they did put it back.
Yeah, since all then, right. I think there have been three special teams players that have worn 32.
All right.
You rarely saw it. You're going to see it on full display on Sunday. That feels like a bad omen to me.
Whoa, what could go wrong?
A really, really bad omen. I am dying to know why he picked 32. Did he wear that in college, maybe?
Oh, maybe it's his lucky number. See.
Did he know that? No, because he would have worn 32 at other places.
Oh.
Did he wear 32 in Indy? Because I get early in his career he wouldn't be allowed to wear 32. They just changed the rule for kickers to wear whatever number they want.
Yeah.
I don't.
Maybe it's something significant to him. Maybe that's his house number.
How do I get home? Oh, right. There it is. Like, of all, did you think anybody?
He was number one.
Okay, that I've seen.
Pretty arrogant.
He was 17. He's been 8, okay. 6, 4.
But he's never.
I've been every number man.
Did nobody pull him aside?
You were 12, actually, in the last.
Okay.
His last.
What? About
season.
OJ?
Well, no, I'm just like, you know.
He knows. Everybody knows that number.
Well, maybe
OJ.
Not. I mean, if you don't grow up around Western New York, if you're not.
Oh,
it just
come
seems
on,
like
man,
a random
OJ.
Number for a kicker to have.
He left, but he retired in 1979. That guy wouldn't have even been alive yet.
No, but I mean, everybody knows Buffalo OJ 32.
I think you'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah,
oh.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
But
I know, I'm not even good with numbers, but that one's burnt into my brain, man.
It'll be the first time we see it prominently worn in a Bills game since O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
I don't like this at all.
It doesn't mean anything,
really,
obviously.
Really, really.
Yeah.
I'll remind you.
So you think that number has some kind of like magical O.J. power?
Yeah.
It's just a weird look. You know,
I love kickers and weird numbers, except for that one. Any other number. You could have worn zero, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Go put on zero.
Zero looks weird, too, though.
Zero's fun. Fun. Zero is fun in the NFL. I like zero a lot.
Doesn't seem like anybody has zero.
Well, go get him, buddy.
Andrew writes us on Instagram, Duffy and WCMF. He says, to be fair, OJ was a good player, right? So surely he's going to be a good player. It's a good omen, right?
Well, it is true. He's one of the greatest running backs of all time.
Mm-hmm. 252 WCMF. The Bills yesterday signed kicker Michael Badgley off the street. He is free because he missed a crucial extra point while playing for the Colts earlier this season. It was just a couple of weeks ago, so that's check one. Two, he trademarked his own nickname, the Money Badger, back in 2019. That's strike two.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially strike three, he is wearing number 32, which is OJ's number. He will be the first prominent face Bill to wear 32.
Yeah.
Since
I mean, at some point, this had to happen. I mean, eventually 32 was going to come back out if they don't retire it, so somebody had to take it.
Yeah, but let's not make it a guy who's just here for a week or two.
All right.
Right? Like, you know, if some young rookie comes out.
Well, maybe this is better because then it'll go away.
Okay.
You don't have to look at it all year.
Well, no, but what if he stays for the rest of the season?
Or you got three games and possibly the playoffs.
You have no idea. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, but he'll probably blow that kick in the playoffs.
What do we got?
Are idiots. Can't Coleman zero.
Oh, yeah. That's how much Keon Coleman has been contributing
know,
the last
seriously.
Couple of weeks. Yeah, I'm getting lit up on Instagram right now. He didn't have a catch last week. Whatever. What do you want from me, man? Shut up, Dix. I also own a Keon Coleman jersey.
Yes, you do.
Oh, you know what? I take back Keon.
All right.
Keon is not playing well. I take back Keon. The Giants, here's the weird part.
What's that?
The Giants just released, after the Bills signed Michael Badgley Jr., what is Koo's first name?
Oh.
Koo's?
He's Asian. Ying, damn it. I don't want to say it wrong. Young Ho Koo?
I think.
He was pretty good for a couple of teams, then he goes on the schneid. Can you sign a better kicker after signing this kicker?
Yeah, why not?
Well,
he's
that'd be
sitting
a pretty,
on your practice squad.
But it'd be a pretty, you're going to have to release him, though. You're not going to have two kickers on the practice squad. Like, it would be a pretty dick move.
It would.
To bring Koo in today, work him out, and sign him and release Badgley after he flew all the way out here. But that might be a better option.
The Koo guy?
Koo. Young Ho Koo? Is that it?
Young Ho.
Is it Young Ho Koo, right?
Young Ho Koo.
I believe so.
Yeah. He was with Atlanta?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, yeah, with a name like that, yeah. That's so Atlanta.
Just bring in Koo so he doesn't wear 32. You laugh all you want, man. This is a real thing. It's a real
thing. It's not a real thing.
Shut up. Stupid.
I mean, the guy's dead. Who cares?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he is.
And that happened 30 years ago.
Okay. You will never understand.
32. Yes.
Just,
the whole world watched
I just want to know, why if this new guy, like, if he picked the number, if he was assigned the number, because all the other places he's been have been low numbers. Like, under the highest number he wore was 17.
Okay, like, I feel like he did it on purpose, and that makes him even
way to be cool guy.
Kind of feels like it, right?
All right, now Giants and Falcons fans are screaming that we don't want Koo either.
Wait, what's wrong?
Younghoe Koo is how you pronounce it.
Younghoe Koo.
Thanks, Brian.
So is he? Did he play here? Or
what are you asking?
Well, he's Chinese.
He said he was
South
Asian.
Korean.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. How are you so bad at this?
He's South Korean?
How yes.
So did he play
football? He played
football?
At Georgia Southern, I think.
What are you asking?
Yep, Georgia Southern University.
How are guys?
Wait, that's the same way the other kid came from.
How are Matt Prater you're talking about?
No, the kid it's out.
Tyler Bass. Yeah,
I thought he so he both came from the same college?
That's interesting.
How are guys your age so bad at asking is he a South Korean national or was he born in America? Because that's what you're wondering.
Well, did he? How did he come to play football?
Okay.
Because those are not football countries. I don't think that's a racist thing to say.
If he's an American with South Korean ancestry, it's an easy thing.
They Americanize their names to some degree. They do.
Oh, my God.
He would be Tony Koo.
How do you know
or
they don't?
Bob Koo.
No, they already got one.
Bobby
of those.
Koo. Bob Cousy was from South Korea.
Get the hell out of here. Shut up. Why can't you
I just asked that question.
No, the question is.
You couldn't pronounce the guy's name, so it kind of stuck out.
No, but I waited to get the correct thing. For you to ask, all you had to do was ask, was he born in America or is he a native South Korean? That's an appropriate question.
I don't know if he's
do this dance, which makes it sound 1,000 times worse. Kimmy, was Younghoe Koo born in America?
Okay, well, it said he went to high school here. Okay. I'm trying to figure out where he was
after
born.
They left China.
Okay, oops. Not China.
They went to South Korea. Then they came here. I mean, usually when you tell me somebody's Asian, I go China first because it's a big country with a billion people. So I figure I got to be close.
He's South Korean American professional football.
That doesn't help.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Okay.
Oh, so he was born
in South Korea. Yeah.
All right, there you go.
So moved here, learned to play football.
He played soccer growing up.
Okay.
Makes sense. Big soccer over there. They love their soccer.
And then he moved to the U.S. when he was 12.
Okay. So there you go.
They love their soccer and they love their golf.
He's not on the bill, so none of this matters anyway.
But we're learning global things here.
You're randomly saying things. You called him Chinese a second ago.
Well, I always say when you say Asian, I always think China first.
Why?
Because it's the biggest country with the most people.
Okay. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
George Bush told you that. China is full of a lot of Chinese people.
It's Wednesday.
What?
It's 8 o'clock. You know what that means.
I don't know what it means.
It's 8. I think I know what our letter's going to be 2 weeks from today.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What, what?
Letter from the Rochester Alliance of South Korean Immigrants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.